You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet Brock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet Brock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Critical.
One of the things that drives me nuts as an atheist is that my polling location is at a church. And I don't necessarily have a problem. I'm not going to like burst into flames walking into a church.
Now, after being on this show and having heard your viewpoints on some things, my advice to you is don't test this. I won't burst into flames.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. This is episode 108. It is April 28th in the year of our Lord, 2018.
Oh, my God. The year of our Lord.
Becca in the studio with me as always.
Hello, everybody.
Michael Kaplan will be joining us momentarily. He's outside on the phone handling some business.
Yeah.
Before we get started into tonight's topics, and I have it's a smattering of things. We're going to talk a little bit about gun violence again. The big conversation that I want to have tonight, and hopefully you will play along, is about abortion. So we're going to talk about that. There's Michael
hey.
Kaplan.
Oh
my
God,
my son's teacher called
Get settled, get settled.
We're already going. So, but welcome.
Yes, we're live. Did you tell the teacher, like, look, I'm busy right now?
I'm trying to do some LGBTWXYZ shit. Oh, wow, we gotta go.
You get where you're sitting and get into the mic, please.
I like it when it comes close.
Some feedback for you. Hello. Last week, I noticed you were very far away.
Yeah, well, I don't know how he understood. Look. Oh, where's your brother? I'm gonna eat some candy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, let's break the shit.
It wasn't in there, right?
Oh, okay.
That's what she said. He said it. Okay. Everybody.
Right off the bat. Okay.
So.
What's it?
Lots of topics today. But before we get into all of that, I'm hesitant to do this because the last time I plugged a guest that I was really excited about, they punked on me.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
But it's okay. So we actually, there's two guests that I'm looking forward to that are lined up here in the near future. One of them is Tony Duchesne, is the author of Confessions of a Teenage Jesus Jerk. Now, you've read this already.
I have.
You binged it.
I am fucking in love with this book. I cannot wait to watch the movie version of the book.
So without giving it all away, what do you have to say about it?
Story loosely based on actual events of a teenage Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And
I haven't read it yet because you wouldn't put it down long enough for me to read.
And listen to this, people. This is a good book if I didn't put it down because I don't like reading, period.
You're not going to do real well in a segment I have lined up later. Then.
And it's because I grew up a Jehovah's Witness
reading
and I always had to read the Bible and the Watchtower and every other book that they shoved down my throat. So I just hate reading.
Yeah.
So when I find a book that I can't put down, you know it's a good book. And I read this thing in 3 days.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. It's not a huge book.
It's 180 pages. But for me.
Yeah.
Taking care of two children all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking care of you 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
It's the truth.
Doing chores, cooking, cleaning. You know, all the stuff that I do during a normal week. For me to tackle that in 3 days was.
Right.
That was. Insane to me.
Oh, we also have Frank Lowe. Frank Lowe is the gay at home dad. So look up at gay at home dad if you want to like get a sneak peek ahead of what you're in for. Frank is the author of the upcoming book Raised by Unicorns. And so we're going to have him on and talk a little bit about his book and his life. And some of his videos are really great because it's just like him and his son in the back seat and they're just talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I love your shirt.
Thank you. I am the rainbow sheep tonight. The rainbow sheep of the family.
I'm the rainbow unicorn.
Black
Jesus. You're just black, black soul. Like
your soul.
Black Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
All right. So so we're going to take your calls later in the show, and I'll open up the phone lines. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you.
Please.
Call in. Get that number handy, 224-40-SARAH.
You should have given
the
teacher our number.
I know. I have a call. Ben should really think we're fucked up.
224-407-2724. But first, we're going to talk about some gun violence conversations. And I don't know if you guys have been watching this. I have some videos for y'all to watch tonight. Nothing says I shouldn't own a gun more than a bunch of NRA sheep hopped up on anger and testosterone, blowing up their Yeti products.
Oh, these fuckers.
Because Yeti severed ties with the gun lobby. Florida man and manager and lead firearms instructor at Aegis Tactical in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, Joe Krochnecko, is a former law enforcement officer who also worked for the International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Agency. He's a certified police advisor, trainer, as well as firearms subject matter expert and tactical operations advisor. And apparently, when it comes to a company turning up its nose at the NRA, he turns into this.
Hey, Joe here with Aegis Tactical. Listen, I made a comment earlier today about Yeti. Basically, we all know the deal with them. They pull out of the back of anything with the NRA. They lost their main card, basically, is what happened. And I made a comment saying I don't own a Yeti product and that this would stop me from ever purchasing a Yeti product in the future, which it will. However, I misspoke because 2 years ago, I bought a you-know-what ton of Leupold optics, and I still love Leupold. But when I bought all that, they sent me this Yeti coffee mug, which I honestly, folks, is pretty cool. Well, actually hot or cool. Depends on what you put in there. And I like my coffee hot, so it keeps it hot.
Forget it's about ready to shoot up this Yeti coffee mug. He's selling it pretty well.
I haven't seen this video, people. I just seen the picture of the guy after
he
does
it. Is he
going to
shoot
it?
Yeah. Oh, of course he is.
And I thought he looked really...
I don't have a Yeti. I have a Slim.
I might go buy a Yeti now. If it keeps it that hot or cold.
Mm-hmm. No, no. You can, if you just put it between your legs, it'll keep it hot.
My God.
Okay.
I have my Pelican ones too, and I like them a little bit better. And I like them a lot better now. So this is what I think of Yeti. Give me a second while I load up. Huh. So, that's what I think of Yeti. Give me a minute. I'll do this more. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's not bulletproof.
Right. Well, nothing says, like, rational, law-abiding citizen gun owner than that display of fucking machismo bullshit.
I mean, it was a good cop.
I'm really disappointed that one of those bullets didn't ricochet and
stop.
Oh,
no.
I know what.
Hit the camera. No, I'm not that evil. Okay. Let me finish my sentence.
I think you've changed.
It would have been great if the bullet ricocheted and broke his camera.
Right.
Or hit him in the face.
Makes me wonder the camera that he's using, if the company is supportive,
right?
Of Ryan's or not. Okay. So that's the first one. Then we move on to the second one. So here's the backstory, though. The NRA president, Marion Hammer, wrote a letter on behalf of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action saying that Yeti had suddenly and without prior notice declined to do business with the NRA Foundation. Quote, "They will only say they will no longer sell products to the NRA Foundation. That certainly isn't sportsmanlike. In fact, Yeti should be ashamed," Hammer wrote.
Shamed.
In the wake of the shooting at Parkland, Florida, many companies have backed away from the NRA. Delta, United Airlines both stopped offering discounts to NRA members. TrueCar, First National Bank of Omaha, Hertz, Enterprise, Alamo, and National Car Rentals, MetLife, Symantec, the list just goes on and on and on. It's no wonder homosexual broflakes have their barrels in a twist and are coming out of the woodwork to protest their loss of privilege. Except, Yeti returned fire on Facebook, claiming that to be inaccurate, saying that what they did was they eliminated an outdated discount. They've eliminated a lot of outdated discounts. And that happened to include one for NRA members. But it says they would still provide them with an alternative customization program broadly available to consumers and organizations. So if you are another organization and you want your logo on their products, there's still a program for that.
Right.
They'll still sell you the stuff. You just don't get a discount anymore. That's what they're all pissed off about.
A discount?
A 10% discount or however much it was. Yeti, that wasn't good enough. Yeti, that wasn't good enough. And gun owners began posting videos of themselves destroying Yeti products with their guns using the hashtag Yeti Cooler Challenge. Here's one such gun owner, Brian Atkinson, in an empty South Carolina field teaching Yeti a lesson, I guess. This is really long, so I may jump around, but maybe.
Well, not only did they lose their discount, they lost their $30 cup.
Right. Oh, they're expensive.
Oh, no.
But it's
yeah,
a whole lot more than that.
Here they're you go. Really. Here you go.
Hot boss. A little rain, a little wind. So we're going to try to do this as quick as we can so we don't get soaking wet.
So it's windy in the field.
Throw the hashtag Yeti in here and the hashtag NRA. It's going down, KC.
Oh, they're getting rid of the cooler?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
That's
anything,
like $1,000 right there.
Yeah, that's an expensive cooler. That's like a cooler, not
that's
a mug.
That's a cooler. You that's go cooler. Hunting and you put your...
It's packed here. It's loaded up.
There's the famous 22 pounds of Tannerite. This Yeti... I ain't ready. These boys is gonna take it out there and come on, Pete.
Cooler over due to him.
Come on, Pete.
They're gonna take it out there in the middle of the field.
Going out in the big dang on field and blowing up the mid. Remember the guy from stop. Remember the guy from King of the Hill, Boom
yeah,
Hour?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
him.
Because it reminds me of.
I just want to be. oh my god.
And we're gonna see what I can do with it. So. 22 pounds in the Yeti.
Oh,
so that's where I'm standing. Yeti can't stand behind NRA. I ain't standing behind Yeti
especially
no more.
Especially if not if you're going to hail bullets at it because it ain't going to protect you.
Matter of fact, anybody need a good cooler? K2 is the way to go.
No, he's got a bright pink, neon pink K2 cooler.
Yeah.
Also.
Just by the way.
By the way. And that's what he's promoting. He's, yeah, don't get a Yeti, get this.
His Yeti's all covered in American flags.
Yeah,
and so is
camouflage
he like,
stickers. And...
Is he like shooting the American flag?
Oh.
I didn't even think about that. For shame.
How to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
God. You're out of control.
Probably stand up.
Oh, come on.
Next to you.
There you go.
And her.
That is some bright pink for such a hillbilly.
They hold eyes 4-1 compared to Yeti. Hashtag Yeti. Hashtag NRA. Hashtag AR-15.
Hashtag, I'm an idiot.
Y'all get ready. It's going down. 22 pounds. Hey.
Okay, now I'm going to skip a little bit because he does this thing where he sends them to drive the truck out into the field. And, like, they're yelling at each other like good old boys out in the field. Hey, stop! You go, no, you done gone too far! Come back! That kind of stuff, right?
Oh my god!
So I'm gonna skip some of that.
Oh, my head hurts. This is
people are ridiculous.
Oh my god!
Oh, Jesus.
It's 10%, guys.
Okay, where's the? Yeah, here we go. All right.
Yeah, what's 10% of the money you spent on that?
I'm gonna jump ahead like 2 minutes. And we'll pick this back up. And here's the thing: blowing shit up's fun. Okay, I understand. Your interest in like, oh, let's go out and, you know, shoot off fireworks and let's go out and, you know, blow stuff up. I understand why that gets you off. But over a discount, come on.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's true, man.
Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm. Y'all ready?
Here we go.
Crazy, stupidest shit I've ever seen.
Watch.
Boom.
Oh,
it was that Yeti.
Damn.
I didn't. Oh.
They bombed that shit.
Yeah, so 22 pounds of tannerite is explosive.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Boom.
What if they go over there and it's like nothing's even harmed on it?
Well, they did. It's a long clip of the video, but they walk up and show all the little bits and pieces laying all over the place. Oh, yeah. Little tiny millions of pieces.
Shards of Yeti.
Yep. So, look, I think this is all really good evidence that people just need to take a deep breath and be the responsible gun owners they claim to be. And let me translate that for you in the South. Y'all just need to chill the fuck out and stop shooting up them expensive Yetis, know what I mean?
Ye doggy.
How did he get that much explosive?
I feel like well, come on.
Don't want to piss him off.
South Carolina, don't ask. I'm sure you can run down to the local Explosives R Us and just, you know, pick up a box.
Hey, son, go get those bombs over there. Dad, which ones?
Southern Michael is my favorite Michael.
Get over there and get me all that bomb stuff.
No, there's more. All you have to really do is do a little search.
I don't want to know this
hashtag
stupidity.
Yeti cooler stuff. And there's there's just a plethora of people out there shooting up their Yetis.
No, I don't like it.
Okay, so let's move on. We've talked.
I don't have a Yeti.
I'm gonna go buy one now.
We talked about this a couple of times in the show, and generally this is a topic that doesn't interest me. Promposals. Okay, now this is in OG co-host Mandy's wheelhouse.
But
particularly, this story really caught my eye and pissed me off. And while it may be 2018 wherever you are, here in Florida, it's more like 1918.
Oh, shit.
A senior at Riverview High School in Sarasota, Florida, decided to ask a girl to the prom by holding up the following sign, quote,
"Oh, I saw this.
If I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you, ... prom."
Whoa.
Did you not see that on Facebook?
No.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That was racist a little bit.
A lot of it.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
What the fuck?
2018 in Florida, y'all.
No.
That was in Florida?
Yeah, Sarasota.
Yeah. That guy's going to get fucking jumped. Don't get mad when you get punched by 10 black people.
Let me see if I can find it for you.
I saw it. It was awful.
Believable.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Like...
A Missouri teen copied. This is breaking news. Missouri teenager copies viral racist promposal sign. What's his say? Copy the promposal word for word. Well, there's the copy.
He's a fucking idiot.
Right?
You're gonna die.
Good way. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Minimum good way to get expelled. But also,
get jumped.
Like, yeah, you're gonna get.
Something's
gonna.
I
would not be surprised. There's the original.
You will never get anywhere in
this
life.
Never be shot up by a redneck with TNT.
Yeah.
With a Yeti.
Okay, acting principal Kathy Wilkes sent a letter home to parents saying the school is investigating and does not condone or support the message. Sarasota County School District sent counselors to the school in case students wanted to talk about the controversy and said it will be working with civil rights groups like the NAACP to develop a roundtable forum to talk about race. So basically, it sounded like they met with a diverse group of students and were maybe a little shocked to learn that this isn't like the only incident that's ever happened in recent times. There's a deeper racist problem that they need to solve. The student apologized on social media, but the parents then apologized too through the family attorney.
Yeah, I would have went right out.
Well, I would. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Wow. Before we get into
so awful.
Yeah, right?
I mean, come on. We say some stupid ass shit, but like...
Right.
So you had to plan that. You had to come up with it and think, oh, that's a great idea.
And so one of the other kids was like, he probably thought he was being funny, but obviously it's not. Like, yeah, okay, look, we said some stupid shit when we were kids too. There are plenty of times when I said a thing that I thought this is going to be real funny. And then it's come out to be like, oh, fuck, I should not have said that. Right. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
And I learned a lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't sick, racist shit like this.
Right.
That's, like, not a mistake.
Oh, no.
No, I'm
that,
sorry.
That family that... is racist.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. So, I mean, we don't know the parents. And as parents, my first thought is, your kids are their own people, and you can raise them, and you think you're doing, you're teaching them the right lessons and teaching them the right way to be, and then they go off to fucking daycare and come home with their hands folded at lunchtime.
Like, and yell at you because you're not praying.
They pick up stuff from friends and mm-hmm. other people, and you just, at some point, they become more their own person than they are, like, your minion, your right. little, you know,
right.
shadow. And so, like, at what point do you, I mean, a high school kid, right?
Well,
at what point do you go, like, and that's what the parents said. The parents were like, look, this is disgusting and we're ashamed of it. And we don't know yeah. anything about the parents.
I don't think it's fair to blame the parents, because I know that, especially with all this stuff that happened last year, all these white nationalists that came out and families disowned them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are plenty of people out there that are just horribly disgusting people, and it has nothing to do with their parents.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yes. Okay.
I'm racist, but not against like that. I'm stupidity.
I'm
ignorance.
The only thing I'm racist against is like races, actual running races.
You're terrible.
And NASCAR.
Oh yeah, definitely NASCAR. All right, I'm gonna do some switching around here because I want to watch the comment feed on the PC, and I don't have it. Okay, so the next topic, one more story before we get into the big abortion conversation for the night.
Mm.
I want to talk about this Texas man who killed his neighbor and used the gay panic defense. Did you guys see this?
No.
So this
I
happened.
I usually watch Texas news.
Yeah, well,
no.
That's where all the fucked up stories come from.
That's why I don't watch
Everything's
it.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
So, James Miller was found not guilty of manslaughter and murder by a jury after killing Daniel Spencer, who he claims made a pass at him. Miller and Spencer were neighbors. They were drinking, playing music together before the attack, and Miller argued that he reacted in self-defense. So rather than manslaughter and murder, the jury found him guilty of criminally negligent homicide and was sentenced to 10 years of probation.
That's messed up.
Probation?
He should have been lucky that the guy wanted to touch him.
Now,
if he was a black guy with weed in his pocket, he would spend 10 years in prison plus 15 right. years and...
Right? Now, like, again, this is legal in most states. You can still go into court and say, I killed him because he was like, hey, baby, and I got scared.
That's so...
Right?
Oh, my God. Here's the other thing. I want to see a picture of this guy.
Yeah, I need
because
a picture.
I'm sorry. I know everybody's got a type, but some of the people that use this excuse are the ugliest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yeah.
Now, God damn it. I didn't write this into my notes because they're, what is it, incel? That's gone popular all of a sudden. It's involuntary celibate.
Oh.
Which is an ugly person who can't get laid,
oh,
basically.
My God.
There's a whole thing, and I don't.
Listen,
I don't
like
have it on
that's
the list
why I prefaced
to talk about.
It with. I know that everybody's got a type. However,
yeah, I got a type. Sometimes I'll go outside of it, but usually I don't go too far. So.
But I mean, I live in Central Florida, and I know a lot of
you
gay
do.
Guys.
You know gay people?
A lot of gay guys, and they all have really good taste in it. Like, you know, like they like good looking men.
Unless they're
that's
ugly.
Why I have like, that. Ugly, like the I don't know.
I guess yeah. this is the guy here.
Is that the guy who was shot or the one that was the shooter? Shooter or shooty?
Shooter. Yeah, so, yeah, it's this guy here.
He don't look too bad.
Nah.
I don't know.
All right.
What did the guy look like that got shot?
God damn it.
What's his name?
Daniel Spencer. I got it. I'm on it.
All right,
you guys right. keep talking.
Okay, fine.
Here we go. Hello from
oh
the
my God.
Other side.
She said keep talking, not keep singing.
Whatever.
And if you're going to sing into her mics, don't sing Adele songs. She
oh
doesn't
God,
like
Adele. I hate
Adele.
Home McDonald's.
Okay, we're moving on.
What was that song? What was that song I sang when your dad was playing bluegrass and I made you laugh so hard?
Oh my
hard?
God, I don't even...
I know what it is. It
okay.
Was, I'm going down to Texas. I got my Bible and my banjo.
Still funny. I wish I had banjo music.
It's perfect for the Texas
right now,
story.
It is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, your dad was listening to bluegrass in the car.
Okay,
and
so,
I just
so here's what
it.
We're going to do. I'm going to plug the phone in. So if you want to weigh in, you can. 224-40-SARAH. Now,
please call us.
Here's the big topic for tonight. Nashville, Tennessee's Capitol grounds currently have two monuments. One to the victims of slavery and one to Holocaust victims. The Republican-led Senate just passed a bill, Senate Bill 2227, known as the, quote, this is long, Tennessee Monument to Unborn Children, comma, in memory of the victims of abortion, colon, babies, women, and men.
Colon? I had colon in there.
The measure passed the Senate 25-3 and now goes to the House for consideration. Representative Bill Dunn, one of the bill's 22 co-sponsors,
oh shit,
likened the abortion monument to the African and Jewish Holocaust ones by saying, quote, the taking of the life of a baby in the womb is related to this brand of inhumanity. He goes on to say, while the baby can be seen as the obvious victim, the memorial will also be for the other victims, the women coerced into abortion, the fathers who can't protect their unborn child, the brothers and sisters who lose a sibling, and society as a whole who becomes coarsened because life is cheapened. Surprisingly, the monument would be paid for with private funds. So
no, not taxpayers.
It's going up on like state grounds, but will not be paid for with taxpayer
money.
They're
going to put a GoFundMe page
out. So here's what I want to know. What do you think of this monument to unborn children? 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. Call us now and weigh in. I have the phone set up and ready to go. Becca?
So what is this monument going to look like would be my first question. Is it going to look like that,
it's going to be a
zygote.
Placenta.
That's what the cell is before it's a baby.
Okay, so let me see if I can find a picture for you.
Yeah, I know, it's got to be a... How are they going to monument this?
Here's one from the city of Chattanooga.
Oh, they have one in Chattanooga?
They do have one. In 1994, this one went up.
It was just a plaque?
No. Looks like it. I don't know.
All right. Well,
anyway.
Whatever. The other thing is, okay, fine. You want a monument to the victims of abortion? Whatever. Go ahead. Go for it. But I want a monument to the victims of our dying democracy.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's...
We're going to have a lot. The whole...
You have a monument for everything.
Yeah. I want a monument of my penis. I think it's not enough people have enjoyed it, and I think if I give it to the world, I won't catch anything. Plus,
oh my god,
oh my god,
they can take photos with it.
You know, you could go into the business. You could get it molded and then sell it for people that
you could.
You can make a whole lot of money. Willy.
What
get
would
you
we
clone
call
a Willy.
It?
I don't know.
What would the words underneath the name be? When you can't get enough,
listeners, let us
take
know.
Take some more.
Magic Michael.
Magic Michael.
Yes.
As seen on TV.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So here was my first thought. I wonder, would this include unintentional abortions? What about miscarriages? Right? If you're going to stack up the number of unborn foeti...
Right.
That are lost over a period of time, there are far more miscarriages than there are abortions.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a monument.
Should we have a monument to that?
Foreskin monument.
You're terrible. So
all the lost foreskin.
Yes.
Monument to circumcisions.
It can go next to the Jewish statue.
I'm going to put it right next to the clitoris monument.
That was so next door to racist. Okay.
Man, I didn't even hear it until I heard it, but didn't process it until just now. Wow, Michael.
Mazel tov.
Okay, so I understand that having an abortion is not an easy decision or process, and that the psychological effects can be extremely traumatic. I understand that. But how much of that is created by this victim-blaming position in our society?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're taught in faith circles, in many, many families, in social groups, that that if you have an abortion, then that you're tainted. You're a murderer.
You're going
to
hell.
You've killed a baby and you're going to hell.
Mm.
Yeah. You might as well just end your life today.
And while there's not a lot of evidence for any of that, like, you have just psychologically assaulted someone with your awful garbage beliefs about the afterlife. And,
mm-hmm.
And so, okay, how do you think people are going to perceive this monument? Okay, let's say you're someone who has had an abortion. Does this make you feel guilty seeing this thing?
Yeah, it's going to make people go through.
Or would you feel honored by it?
No, I don't think I'd feel honored by it at all. I'd be reminded just by the torturing decision I had to make.
Right? Like, okay, so fine.
I don't think anybody really wants to get
monument
an abortion.
Monument to abortion. And exactly. Yes. Like, I don't think anybody...
It's like, oh, I can't wait to get an abortion.
Nobody says
it's never
that.
The best option.
Yep.
I want someone to have
but
sex with me.
But for some people,
I
mean, it's the only option.
Right. I was going to say, sometimes it like, for the life of the...
Right.
Whatever.
Like, okay, so fine. Okay. What about all these people who didn't have abortions because of whatever guilt they were... you know, given about having an abortion, but they should have had an abortion. And then they've lived this horrible life because they didn't have enough to provide for
but
sure.
You could have given
this
it
child,
to a foster home and then they could have been molested and taken advantage of, but people aren't really.
Or they, because they got pregnant, they got stuck in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. Right.
Or, like, there's so many different things
she couldn't
that
make
could
it
happen
so she
to
had
somebody
to tough
if
it out
they,
and be beaten every day.
Right.
So have a monument to those people, too.
224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724. You can text also. I get those, that same number. I want to hear what you guys think about this, because I definitely have my opinions, but I know that that my opinion is not the only opinion.
Russell says in chat, that could be a real trigger for people who didn't want to but were forced to for medical reasons.
Yeah right.
Very true. Russell.
Russell also says it's fucking bullshit. That's what I think. But I don't know if that was on the same topic.
I don't know.
Russell, send us a picture of you naked. What do you look like?
He's been losing a lot of weight.
Oh, attaboy. That means the penis is getting bigger.
Oh, my God.
Every time I look down, I remember.
He's at work right now with headphones and listening to this. So I can only imagine that he probably...
He's probably turning red right now.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me I'm wrong.
You're
about
wrong.
This whole thing. 224-407-2724. Mara says, oh geez, not this shit again. You can quote me on that.
Yeah.
This reverence for a clump of cells is weird and almost fetishistic. Fetishistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do I have am I planning on talking about this in a minute? Go ahead.
Stacy says it can feel like a shaming to them. Those who've had abortions.
Right.
So, and yeah, like that's...
Right. Okay. we're taking your calls next or we're moving on. But the rest of the story is at the press announcement or whatever they had about this. Myra Simmons is a longtime pro-life activist who served as the board of president of the Yes on One campaign, which was an amendment in the Tennessee Constitution in November of 2014, which empowers the state legislature to enact, amend, or repeal state statutes regarding abortion. Because it's the state the power. Okay. Right. Amendment 1 passed with more than 52% of the vote. Myra also spoke during the announcement of the Tennessee legislator's effort to create this pro-life monument. She said, in part, "Having been active in pro-life work for many years now, I learned so much about not only what happens to a precious unborn child during an abortion, but the one thing that has really come home to me is the terrible pain that women are suffering from their misguided decision of having an abortion, and also the pain of the men after encouraging and paying for these women to have an abortion." 1920 called, and it wants its misogyny back. She goes on, I've heard testimony after testimony of lives devastated from this one decision on one particular day in their life. One decision, one procedure on one day changed forever who they are. End quote. I wonder, did she happen to invite the testimony of people who had an abortion and that decision positively changed their life?
Oh, no. Why would she do that?
Or because just the ones dealing with guilt and regret?
I'm sure she ran an ad that said, did you have an abortion? Did you regret it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. You know what? Let's do that.
What?
I know this is a really hard topic to talk about. I understand. You can use a fake name if you want to. We can disguise your voice, whatever. But I want to put together just a broad abortion show where we can sort of talk about it from tip to tail. And if you're in a good space to talk about it, of course, if you're not, you know, not everyone is, and I understand that. But I'd like to hear from people who had an abortion or whose partner did. And not to make any moral judgment or claims, I just want to talk about, like, what your social pressures were from the beginning, from the pressure to have sex in the first place, pressure to have unsafe sex, pressure to have children, pressure to keep the pregnancy or not, all of those components that contribute. And I've told a little bit about my story, and I'm sure I'll retell it again at some point. But if you're able to safely tell your story, let's do that on a future show.
Let me add to that call to action. If you're not necessarily in a place where you can talk about it, if you want to write your story down, we can get somebody to come in and voice act it for you.
Yep.
Or read it. Or
absolutely.
However, that's, you know, if that...
That would be cool as well. Yeah.
So email producer at saratalk.com, or you can fill out, there's a contact form on saratalk.com you could fill out, and we'll try to put this together for a future show.
Your voice can still be heard without hearing your
voice. Yes, absolutely. Okay, that went a little longer than I hoped. So back to Myra Simons. Without citation, she says, quote, 90% of women who have had an abortion mourn the loss of their child. Mourning? Sure. Okay, right? That's not the same as regret, though.
Right.
There's a feeling that happens, you know, that there is this, and there's a change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your body goes through a change through this process, and you mourn the loss of that. Maybe you're mourning the loss of the few hopes and dreams that you did have, that things were going to work out okay, or that your situation was going to be improved, or whatever it is. Mourning, though, is not the same as regret. You can still feel all those things and come out and go, but I'm still glad I did it. Mm-hmm. Quote, folks, I am here today to tell you that I am also one of those women, she says, but I thought I was different. I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home with loving parents who taught me right from wrong. See, there you go with your parents teach you all the right things, but then your kid's your own person. I graduated from a Christian high school and ultimately a fine Christian university. But as soon as I came out of college, I fell and a deep-seated rebellion took hold of me, one that took years for me to recover from. Now, maybe that had to do with your overprotective Christian upbringing.
Yeah, been there.
You thought you couldn't make any mistakes. You had to live up to a certain mm-hmm. standard.
Yep. Like, did for those of you who came from religious upbringings, were you told that kind of stuff, it happens to worldly people that would go to hell? Like, is that something that you heard growing up? I'm making assumptions here about her life experience, but I'm probably not too far off. Okay, she continues. It was during this terrible time in my life, a time that I was extremely vulnerable, that I found myself unmarried and pregnant. Time that I was extremely vulnerable, that I found myself unmarried and pregnant, something totally foreign to the way I was brought up. I had heard that abortion is a quick 15-minute procedure, and then you get on with your life. Folks, that is a lie. You don't just get on with your life. They do not tell you the psychological effects of this, quote, simple procedure. It is anything but simple, as it has a profound effect on who you are. And she goes on. This is a long speech. But look, I'm not trying to diminish her experience or dismiss dismiss what she's, you know, what she's gone through. I'm not trying to make light of her situation. I just think that there are a lot of social factors, specifically from a religious upbringing, that play into the psychological struggle that she's having. And that's a very real struggle. And I hate that anyone has to go through that. But here's my question. Is she advocating for this memorial for her own personal closure?
It sure sounds like it.
Is this her version of a grave marker for her own aborted fetus? Like, is that what this is about? And if that's what this all boils down to, does it really need to be on the state capitol grounds? Maybe I'm being an insensitive jerk. You tell me.
No.
Churches have areas where they could be doing this. It can be at a church. It doesn't need to be. If you're so adamant that you need to have this, mm-hmm. go seek your approval of your bishop or your pastor or whoever is in charge, wherever you go to church.
Right.
And maybe they can do something for you within the church.
Hmm.
That would not be nearly as offensive as making this huge big deal on a Capitol like,
right. And normally we're going to talk about one later. Normally when I'm opposed to monuments on Capitol grounds, it's on the basis of religion. This is not on the basis of religion for me. This is not me saying I don't want a monument because they're espousing the Christian worldview that abortion is bad and you're killing babies.
Right.
That's not it at all. I think if I were someone who had gone through this, regardless of how I feel on either way, I don't think that this thing is going to be closure for me. I don't think this is going to make me feel better about my situation I don't know. Well,
and I've known a lot of people who were fundamentally against abortion, but for non-religious reasons. For reasons mm-hmm. that were like, there are hundreds of people that want babies that can't have them. And you could just as easily give that baby up, which is, you know, fine.
Yeah.
And most of those people were flexible with their opinions about it, though. If it was, I just got raped by some psycho and I don't want to carry this baby, you know, like they had more respect for
the individuals. They expect you to keep it.
Right. But the people that are driven to abortion is bad. The people that are driven to that conclusion because of religion are more like just disgustingly against personal rights. And that includes
especially for women, the personal
rights of the people who might be triggered for whatever reason by this kind of monument.
Or the family can be triggered, not just the woman and the man. How about the grandparents or the sisters and the brothers and the...
So let me clarify before we're going to go to a break here and I'm going to close the phones. So this is your last chance, 224-40 Sarah.
Don't hold back.
Let me clarify my own position on abortion, right? As someone who has gone through sort of with someone whom I got pregnant when I was a teenager, I have a little experience with this. And for a long time, I was like super Christian in all ways. I was very much pro-life. That's a baby. You don't kill it. As with all things, I've grown and learned. And now my position is a lot more nuanced. So I label myself as pro-choice. Now, pro-choice does not mean pro-abortion.
Right.
For those of you who have heard, you know, the right-wing talking points.
They want to kill my babies.
You are not getting the full story. Here's the full story. Pro-choice can mean that, you know, I don't really like the idea of abortion. And I think if presented with a scenario, I would probably not choose it for myself. But it's not my decision to choose for you. And that's what it comes down to for me. I should not, the state should not, like you people that are all like, oh, the government's, you know, big government's coming in and telling us what we can and can't do. Oh, except if it's about abortion. So you can tell you not to do that.
I mean, okay, so you pro-choice. choice is a very, it's a very obvious word. It means you have a choice and you can choose either one. It's the same thing with gun regulation. Gun regulation does not mean we're taking your guns away.
Right.
It's just, they just don't understand basic English and it's really infuriating.
All right. So here's what we're
going
to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back,
we're getting pregnant.
There's quite a bit of news in the religion category this week. Plus, we'll do a Florida man and more. When we come back, you're listening to Sarah Talk.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. We love our patrons. If you're not a Sarah Talk patron, you're missing out.
We should do a parody show for bathroom bills at the dog park. Like dogs fighting over which dog gets to pee where.
Or the owners.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable that my dog has to shit on the transgendered lawn. Fuck that.
Our Patreon fans get access to special patrons-only content, like this nearly two-hour-long bonus episode where we break down Texas Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, with our special guest, Jake Vahaba.
My dog hunches over and takes a big runny shit. It's gonna do it with other straight shit dogs.
Which is the argument I hear.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly what
my
I
dog knows what it is. And it may fuck other men dogs sometimes, and pillows and shit, my kid. But I'm not having my dog shit next to other transgendered hump dogs.
Not only do our patrons get access to all previous patron-only specials for less than the price of a tall whatever Starbucks tries to pass off as a coffee, you'll get an ad-free version of the show, which often includes outtakes and extended segments. And of course, we'll give you a special shout-out on the show. Become a patron now for as little as $1 per episode. Go to patreon.com/saratalk today. That's patreon.com/saratalk.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Sarah Talk.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin.
Did you hear what Michael just said?
No.
I sound like a sex operator.
You do?
Oh, my God.
So, apparently, I'm going to get a new job.
You
have a sexy voice. Say something sexy. Come on, let everybody hear.
Something sexy?
Okay.
No, that's one not
of the, one of the questions when you join our Facebook group, which you should do, you can get that link real quick at saratalk.com. Click on the Facebook group link. One of the questions, we ask three questions for you to join, and one of them is, who has the sexier voice? And everyone has been artfully dodging that question. Very, very impressed with the way
they're like,
that people
both
are
of
like,
you. How do I choose?
Yeah,
I know how to choose.
I feel like this is a trap.
Right? Listen.
Okay.
She has a sex voice.
Yeah. It's all good.
Okay. Here we go. Moving on.
Moving on.
I work tonight, so we can't be
at
the show.
Oh,
I know. Yes.
What time you gotta go to work?
I have to be there at 11.
Like
hell no.
Yeah.
Everybody got time for that.
It's a weird week this week. So.
My schedule got all messed up. Well, I messed up my
you
schedule.
Didn't.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay. We're going to revisit a story from Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I know that's a place nobody wants to go, but there's some new developments in Senator Jason Raypert's 3 years and counting holy quest to install a Ten Commandments monument outside the Arkansas State Capitol.
This shit again?
Now, you may recall last year that a Ten Commandments monument was put up, and in less than 24 hours later, it was taken down thanks to Jesus freak, born-again Christian
Michael Tate
Reed, with his Dodge Dart.
Oh, Michael Tank Reed,
wasn't it?
Yeah, the guy that drove into the monument and knocked it over with his car.
Was he drunk or he just decided he didn't like it?
So he was, his argument was like, look, I'm a believer, but I think that I still believe in like the separation of church and state. So as a, you know, as God's warrior, I'm gonna knock this down. And he did.
He got in trouble.
He had a very like reasonable reason for feeling that way, but
But that's not how we handle these things, okay? Yeah. And we talked about that on episode 62 and 63. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. We talked, you know, like don't resort to criminal destruction of property. Yes, it's an unconstitutional preference of religion, but we have legal processes too that, you know, we should follow through those.
Yeah.
So last year when the monument went up, we didn't get to see the Kate case brought through the courts because by the next day there was no monument. to go to court over. Well, both monument and lawsuit will have a better shot at surviving this year, longer than 24 hours, because this time they put a giant, they put giant concrete bollards around the monument at the corners so that nobody can smash it with their car.
Somebody will be in there with a baseball bat. Just wait.
We know that higher courts have ruled that singular monuments like this are in violation of the Constitution. And so when Rapert points to a display in Texas that was permitted, he's leaving out the fact that in Texas, in that example, there are other displays included too. All you have to do is let the Satanists put up their own monument. That's it. It's all you have to do. And then you're good.
What kind of monument? Like devil horns?
Yes.
Like something, something
like
hailing
a clitoris with a clitoris. Horns come out?
Stop it.
What is that like star thing? What's it called? I can't remember.
I don't know. They would probably put up a Baphomet statue.
Yeah.
A bath? I could take a bath.
In fact, the Satanic Temple has already offered their own monument, and having been rejected, will be suing the state of Arkansas, arguing that denying their request but allowing this clearly Christian monument is religious preference and is therefore unconstitutional. Other groups are expected to, if they haven't already, by today, to file their own lawsuits, and then all of those lawsuits will be combined into one. How long are we gonna fight this fight?
Like until everybody has a monument for every purpose,
right? Until there's a Ten Commandments on every lawn,
next to a clitoris, a penis, and an unborn fetus,
right?
And foreskin. For the Republic of which it stands. One nation under God.
Michael, you should rewrite the Pledge of Allegiance and it should be the Pledge of the Penis.
We should do Pledge of Allegiance to the Penis. To the Republic.
So, no, there was a great video.
Not the Republic anymore.
They did this groundbreaking, whatever, the they put the monument up and stood around it and jerked off to the national anthem or whatever they do.
Ooh, who had a bigger penis?
Lucian Graves of the Satanic Temple was there. And so the monument is like here and some old dude with a camera was live streaming over here. And so there's this great video that you can find on the internets where Lucian walks over to the camera and like bends down to the camera and is like, so actually this monument is a violation of this article section this of the Arkansas State Constitution and blah. And the guy goes, that's great, but we can't see you. Your head's cut off. So he goes, oh, okay. So he gets down a little further and he starts in again. And the guy's like, the audio's off now. The audio was out. And the guy, and Lucian's like, you turned it off? Or, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing with this newfangled technology. And it's all on video for you to see. Audio was not turned off. You can watch it and listen to it.
Wow.
Yep. Damn it, Sarah. This religious stuff doesn't harm anybody. Why can't you just keep your atheism to yourself and let people have their God?
Oh, did you get hate mail?
Glad you asked. Because religions in general, and Christians specifically, are compelled to spread this diseased way of thinking to the rest of us. Here's an example. A 36-year-old woman, Linda Mae Everett, of North Carolina, entered patient care areas without authorization on April 5th after she was denied entry into the Children's Hospital at New Hanover Regional Medical Center. Hospital staff noticed she did not have a visitor's badge and alerted NHRMC police. They charged her with 3 counts of felony breaking and entering. Apparently, she was like waiting for someone with a badge to go through the door and then would like sneak in behind them.
Whoa.
Yep. She was later arrested on April 17th on warrants issued in New Hanover County and bonded out at $10,000. The North Carolina Information Sharing and Analysis Center issued a bulletin on April 13th saying Everett, quote, is believed to be going to neonatal units of hospitals in North and South Carolina, possibly in attempts to abduct a child. But Linda May says they've got it all wrong. She told CBS 17 that she went to decided to stop by this hospital to deliver some children's Bibles to the newborns, saying that she always carries the Bibles with her when she travels, and there are pictures of that too. She said she presented her license at the lobby of the children's hospital and was escorted by a nurse to the children's wing of the hospital, where the nurse told her they had 3 births that day. Everett says she delivered 3 Bibles and then was stopped by security. Quote, all I was doing was giving mothers a Bible. I do it all the time. I have been to that hospital 4 or 5 times before and have never gotten stopped. But NHRMC stated that Everett was not escorted to the unit by a nurse. She's scheduled to appear in court May 21st. You've had 2 babies. What do you think of that? Crazy lady sneaking into the newborn wing to proselytize.
Like, I don't care why she was there. She had no business to be there.
She dropped him off at the front door.
Right. Yes, there. Yeah.
And here's
give
the
him
thing.
To the office.
Here's yeah. the thing. I come from a crazy-ass religion, and we would go into hospitals and leave our literature in the waiting room.
Your boyfriend's calling you.
He smokes. I'm not really into it.
We would leave our literature in the waiting room, but we never went beyond the waiting room. There's something to be said for like respecting somebody's space when they're in the hospital for whatever reason.
Right.
And no, I don't think giving Bibles to newborns is appropriate, obviously.
Right.
Nope.
You know, Jesus.
May 21st, she's scheduled to appear in court.
It makes me really glad that the hospital that we had our babies in, like, they never left our room.
Yeah.
They were always with, like, from the minute that they were born, they were with us.
Yes, and the director said something about, like, the multiple lines of defense that they have, right? First of all, you need to have a badge to get, you have to give your ID to get a badge, to get a visitor badge. You have to show your ID at the desk. And then that only gets you into certain areas. Mm-hmm. And then the next line of defense is exactly what happened here, where the staff stops you. And then beyond that, like if she did get her hands on a baby, they have that mother-child alert system thing where if the baby goes too far from...
Right.
Or if it gets cut... Yeah.
Alarm goes off. So there's, that was my favorite thing about when we had our babies was knowing that they were basically tied to me, even though the umbilical cord had been cut.
Yeah.
Like they weren't leaving that hospital without me.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus, Michael.
I sent him a picture. Come on, take it easy, Matt.
Turn the volume down.
Yeah. No kidding. You're on the radio, man.
I know.
You'd get fired for that if you were in real radio.
It's true.
God, it's not real.
Whoa.
Oh, you said it.
Why do I not have a clip of Donald Trump saying,
a clip?
You're fired.
You're fake news.
You're fired. Because I would play that. You're fired.
You're fired.
But Sarah, it's just the Bible. It doesn't harm anybody. She was just trying to do something nice for the new moms. Why can't you keep your atheism to yourself and let people have their God? American atheists have launched a new lawsuit in the state of Ohio on behalf of the Defibaugh family. The 11-year-old developmentally disabled son was at the center of a 2016 lawsuit which sought damages for assault and child endangerment as he had been forcibly baptized by a local church.
Oh my God.
Now this story is really fucked up. So there's a lot of names. Try to stay with me. Margaret Vaughn, a court-appointed guardian ad litem, apparently proselytized to these parents and their children on more than one occasion, left books, tapes, CDs, and other works of religious content for the family, and repeatedly telling them that, quote, families need God to raise children, end quote. They complained to Vaughn's supervisors at CASA, and on several occasions, and nothing changed. And in 2015, Vaughn arranged for David Guarnara, an adult member of her church, to be a mentor to the boy through the Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization. Now, American atheists in their filing claim that Guarnara was not an existing volunteer at Big Brothers Big Sisters, but became one to make it look more official and disguise this church connection between himself and the guardian ad litem. The juvenile court approved the recommendation of Big Brothers Big Sisters and further allowed Vaughn to select the individual who would become the Big Brother, of course, choosing her church friend. Court documents claim Guarnara was given explicit instructions to refrain from religious activities with the child, but throughout 2015 and 2016 still discussed religion with the child frequently. Plaintiff argues that Guarnara repeatedly told the boy that he didn't like families that did not believe in God. That if you don't like God, you're not part of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Played religious music on the radio in the car when they were going on outings to baseball games and such. Then, on August 28th, 2016, Guarnara took the boy to a picnic at the Morning Star Fringe Church and, along with the pastor, forcibly baptized the boy, pushing him underwater, which was the culmination of more than a year of religious harassment. And so, a series of attempts have so far failed to find legal recourse for the anxiety and extreme emotional distress caused by the forced baptism. So, if this kid, first of all, had like some social awkwardness. Okay, that's what's going on with the then 11-year-old son. There was another child in the house, 14-year-old daughter, I believe, who the court-appointed guardian ad litem was intended for. There something was going on with her in the court system. CASA is like DCF, I guess, like their version of
right.
Taking care of, you know, children in a home. That have gone through the court system in one manner or another.
Right.
But now once they're in the house, they're in the house. And then this person, Margaret Vaughn, sees that the boy has some social awkwardness and goes, well, I'm here, so now I can recommend that he have a certain plan, right? So lawsuit number one was dismissed last October by a U.S. district judge because CASA, the agency that appointed the guardian ad litem, has immunity from the claims against them, and the guardian ad litem herself, Ms. Vaughn, was not acting as an agent of the government CASA program when proselytizing to the family or when arranging the mentor, that Big Brothers Big Sisters shouldn't be liable because the boy was simply a volunteer for a nonprofit. They only ruled on the federal claims, which leaves certain claims to be refiled in state court, which brings us to the current filing by American atheists in the state of Ohio. The family is seeking declaratory judgment that the conduct of the named defendants, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Ohio, David Guarnara, Morningstar Friends Church, Pastor Matthew Chesnes, CASA, and guardian ad litem Margaret Vaughn was a violation of their rights under law, compensatory and punitive damages, and counsel fees and costs. And I hope they clean house. I hope they get all the money.
Yeah.
I hope they
absolutely
get it all.
Absolutely. That is so fucked up.
As someone who, like, so my sisters are 11 and 12 years older than I, right? And as a kid, I hung out with them and their friends, their high school friends. Mm-hmm. And we were out at the lake one day at the beach, and a moment I'll never forget, and I was held underwater, dunked by her friends. Some of her friends that thought they were being funny, mm-hmm. and it wasn't funny. And it delayed my ability to learn to swim for a long time. So I can't imagine the trauma that this kid has gone through. Just absolutely disgusting.
It's horrible.
On Monday, police in Southwest Houston arrested a mother on 3 counts of aggravated assault on a family member after she set a car on fire while inside it with her 3 daughters, 9, 11, and 13. One witness told investigators that Anna Segovia revved up the engine until it caught fire and then decided to leave with the kids. Car wash owner Geraldo Cortez said he was standing only feet away from the vehicle when it went up in flames. He said, quote, when the girls tried to climb out, they couldn't. The door closed, broken English, The first time she walked outside, she put them back. So apparently the girls tried to get out of the car, and the mom was like, nope, get back in there. Uh-uh. Police say she abandoned the two older girls and then dragged her 9-year-old toward the bayou. A deputy caught up and after a struggle, arrested her. Witnesses told police when they approached the car, they heard her say something to the effect of, quote, we're going to see Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Again, Jesus.
According to HPD Lieutenant Larry Croson.
Jesus will tell you when he's ready to see
the
you.
The good news is the children yeah. were unharmed and are reportedly staying with an aunt.
Good. Hopefully she's not crazy.
Oh, my God.
I won't go there. I'm going to talk about religiosity and families, but I think there's a good chance that they're just going to get more Jesus at the aunt's house.
This doesn't make sense to me. All these people that are just, oh, I'm just going to kill my kids and myself because Jesus. And
she's obviously off her medicine.
But didn't she read the Bible? Like, it's a sin. You go to hell if you kill yourself.
Your kids are going to heaven and your ass is going to hell.
Heaven and hell don't exist.
Well, I know, but in their Bible.
Yeah, Jesus is not a magical fairy tale creature.
In their Bible, though.
Yes. No, I know.
Like,
right. Well,
this doesn't make any goddamn and
how,
fucking sense.
How baiting is that? They're like, heaven is this wonderful place, and you can't right? wait to get there, but you can't go early.
No.
Like, if heaven is this
Black
great
Friday
place, wouldn't
is
you want to
only on
like,
Black Friday?
Wouldn't you want to, you know, get on with it and get there because it's so much better? Yeah. But you can't do that. Okay. Moving on. Do you remember the internal struggle that I had over this gay wedding cake bakery nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole fucking show on this.
Oh, no. I'm hungry for some cake.
I think I looked it up. I think it's episode 77. I think that's the episode. Anyway, there's this argument out there that goes like this. All right. Businesses should be able to decide who they serve. And if they make shitty decisions with that power, then eventually that'll come back to bite them. Okay, and I've argued this on the social media recently. Now, that sounds good on paper, and we're about to talk about an example of when that worked. But I also feel like it wasn't that long ago that the government had to step in and tell businesses, hey, you guys have to take down the whites-only signs. That wasn't long ago, guys. Mm. That on the grand scheme of the United States, even, on the calendar of our country,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't that long ago. And I'm unconvinced that the arc of the free market bends towards justice. But here's a story where that very thing happened, okay? I'm pretty sure we talked about this back when it was first news, early in the show. Back in 2015, Memories Pizza owners Kevin and Crystal O'Connor were thrust into the spotlight after telling an ABC reporter that they wouldn't cater a gay wedding because of their religious beliefs. It was great PR at the time. A country divided over gay marriage. Their story caught the attention of every national news outlet, and they picked up a sweet $840,000 from a GoFundMe campaign backed by Glenn Beck's network.
Mm-hmm.
Joe My God writes, last year, the shop's owners faced off against a gay couple on Fox News host Jeannie Pirro's You the Jury show, which was canceled after 2 episodes. It doesn't appear that his episode ever aired. To be clear, they didn't deny a gay couple wedding catering. They just said they would. And excuse me while I'm a little stereotypically gay here for a moment, but who the fuck is ordering pizza for their wedding?
Yeah.
Right.
For their gay wedding.
For their gay wedding.
Right.
Right.
Gays, if you're out there and you want pizza at your wedding,
do
I want to hear from you.
But seriously.
Right. Yeah.
I love pizza. I'm gay, but I probably
at the wedding?
Love that.
Wedding.
Like pasta.
Like we,
stay classy, gays. Come
like,
on. We can do better.
We,
I like pizza, but not at my wedding.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. That's the point.
Like, my son will probably want pizza at his wedding, but he wants pizza every single fucking day.
Not at his wedding. I think his wife will have something to say about that.
I'm hoping by then he'll grow up.
Or husband.
But I'm hoping he'll grow up before then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I know there are people out there that would be, sure, pizza. But I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody is quite sure if this is a result of the controversy or not, but Memories Pizza will now just be a memory. A sign hanging in the front window says it closed for good last month, which, if the arc does bend towards justice, They lasted 3 more years after this whole thing caught fire. They banked nearly $850,000 from religious organizations. I'm not buying this argument. And to reiterate a point that I made on our social media last week, I do think that a business should be able to deny service to a person, but only based on action and never identity.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll recall, like, that I went through this whole fucking struggle on how I feel about, as an audio producer,
mm-hmm.
if a religious organization came to me and said, we want you to produce a thing for us, should I be able to object to that
right.
and say no? And in the same way at the gay baker, right? The baker with the gay wedding cake.
And the pizza.
And are those the same? And, like, yeah. I went through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where I've landed. If you've got someone harassing others, being a nuisance, by all means, but never because I just don't like you people.
Right.
Never. Action, not identity.
So Russell's doing a little self-promoting in the chat. by the way, totally take him seriously. He's really great
mm-hmm.
chef and he makes amazing pizza. But he says, hey, if you're gay and want pizza at your wedding, I'll take care of it.
Hey, I like pizza.
There you go.
I made pizza yesterday, homemade pizza.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Russell, I'm going to stitch this story in. Russell shared this in the Facebook group. If you're not a member of, don't know what you're waiting for.
What are you waiting for?
And this was the story about the guy in the New York City bar with the MAGA hat. Do you remember we talked about this?
Yes.
Then he claimed that he was refused service, even though they had a receipt that was rather large that he paid for with his credit card.
Yeah.
Well, jackass. Update to that story. A New York City judge decided that refusal to serve was not illegal.
Ooh.
So this judge says, yes, the business has the right to go, I don't like that hat. I'm not going to serve you. Everybody hit record on the device. I don't agree with that ruling. I don't agree with that ruling. Now, if your person with the MAGA hat is being a nuisance and harassing other people and, you know, walking around calling people snowflakes and shit, now you have a cause of action.
Right.
But just because they have a hat on that has a...
If it's
offensive language.
If it says the N word across the front of it.
Yes.
Right.
And so we worked at Disney, and that was always
the
deal. Like, people would wear offensive shirts, and we'd have to make them turn them inside out. One of them was the FC UK,
mm-hmm.
and because it kind of looked like fuck, they had us go approach these people and be like, look, I get it, you're British, it's funny, turn your shirt inside out. That was a Disney policy,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Anything that they deem inappropriate, they can tell you to. Now, it's take it off, turn it inside out, put a different shirt on, whatever, or then we ask you to leave.
Right. Well, and I mean, so you got your MAGA hat on, and that it could have been a rainbow hat. It could have been a Nazi hat. It could have been. But here's the thing that, especially in New York City, you have all these people. This reminded me of when Prince Harry, and you won't know anything about this because it's the royals, but years ago, Prince Harry caught all kinds of hell because paparazzi caught him, took pictures of him with a Nazi emblem on an armband.
It was a costume, right?
But it was a costume.
Yeah, Halloween costume.
He was out, like, going to a costume party or something.
Which,
and so,
okay, not a great choice.
I mean, not a great choice. But you just, in New York City, there's people that are, like, doing underground Broadway-style things. People are dressing up, you know?
That's true.
Like, so, I don't know. And maybe this guy was a genuine asshole, but he spent a lot of money there.
Yep.
And whatever.
Well, and that their claim in court was that he was still refused service, but he picked up the tab for everybody at the table.
Oh.
That was their claim in court, which, whatever.
I mean, you know, I think it has to be based on action. That's what I agree with you. I just don't.
So, I don't think you should be able to kick the guy out just for wearing this hat.
Right. Now, if he's coming in and he's causing a scene and yelling, America, great, and people are complaining.
Yes, if having the hat on causes other people.
Right.
So, like, if it's inciting violence, if it's causing disturbances,
and
yes.
And maybe not even necessarily refuse service, but there are ways around that, like we used to do at Disney.
Sure.
Ask him to put it away.
Yeah.
Hey, some people are...
Hey, man, we can move you to a table in the side room and the private whatever.
We just want to not cause any problems anywhere.
We really want you here, but can you just please... Because we would do the same for you, you know?
Right,
so,
exactly.
Put me on record. I disagree with this,
I think we all disagree.
Yeah.
We all disagree?
I think we all are on the same page here.
Okay. And just three of us, we win.
We win.
So the next story, I have a little quiz for the two of you.
Oh Jesus! Oh. I didn't study.
This will be fun. I have my buzzer.
Do I need a measuring
stick?
Oh
my gosh!
Do I need a ruler?
I have my buzzer and my bell ready to go. Why do you get the heebie-jeebies?
I don't know.
All right, GQ magazine made some waves this week by dissing on classic literature. Their list of 21 books you don't have to read includes classics like The Catcher in the Rye, Lonesome Dove, The Old Man and the Sea, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and The Lord of the Rings. Don't have to read it. Pass it. In the introduction to the piece, the editors say this: "We've been told all our lives that we can only call ourselves well-read once we've read the great books. We tried. We realized that not all the great books have aged well. Some are racist, some are sexist, but most are just really, really boring." Now, to be fair, they do also suggest 21 books you should read instead. So for each book, they're like, this is the book that everyone says you should read, but here's another one that maybe tackles the same themes that's better. That's better written. So let's play a little game. I will read some descriptions of these books and see if you can guess which book it is.
Oh God, I'm I'm dyslexic I can't read.
I've never read any of the books on the first list, she
we'll
says.
We'll see how
so,
you do. There's clues.
Is there Moby Dick on there?
There's clues. All right, listen. Oh God. "My father loved this book, so I tried to love it. It left me unmoved. Mostly, I kept hoping the fish would get away without too much damage. When my grandpa pushed me to catch a trout at a fish farm, I threw the rod into the pond."
Straight porn.
What were my options?
There's 21.
There's no multiple choice?
No.
Oh, crap.
A fish being captured? I don't know. I thought
I have no idea.
Dad.
I am not a literature snob. So.
The Old Man in the Sea.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Oh, that's the
I was going
to
say
before.
Pinocchio.
Yeah, some of these were in the introduction. Just a little tip. Okay, the next one you should get. "Mark Twain was a racist. Just read this book. He was a man of his time, so let's leave him there. We don't need him."
Huckleberry Finn. Never read it.
All right.
I saw the movie,
fan.
Though.
I feel
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in it. I had to see it.
Okay.
He's cute.
Yeah. And again, like, he was a super fucking racist you know, in the way, and in that article, they describe, like, the way he wrote the slaves, like, in this very tropey way that, you know, and there are other writers who tackled the issue of slavery at the time much better. Okay, the last one. Ready?
Oh, shit.
"This book is rated very highly by all the people who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it." Shut up. Not done yet. "Those who have read it know there are some good parts, but overall, it is certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, sententious, foolish, and at times, ill-intentioned."
The Bible.
That's right. GQ magazine rates the Bible number 12 on a list of 21 books
that was
you don't
GQ?
Have to read.
I thought you wrote that.
No.
Holy crap.
He is GQ.
GQ.
Oh, she is GQ.
Jeez.
Number 12. Yeah.
Oh, man. GQ. See, I never read any books on that list
except that one.
Over and over and over. GQ. Probably 21 times. Oh, my God.
Girl career.
And they're absolutely right. It's a total waste of time.
Yeah. Unless you want to create an atheist.
Right.
That's a good reason to read it.
It's a great way to create an atheist.
Time after time.
Oh, my God.
When you fall, I will catch you.
Turn it off. Yeah.
That's a not
okay.
Nice.
We'll round out the show today.
Round. Why
I keep
every round?
I keep forgetting that I have to go to work.
Yeah,
God damn
I know,
it.
Honey.
My son tried to convince me that the world was flat.
What?
What?
No. Yeah, he said it's supposed to be like this new thing that everyone's talking new about thing. A few weeks ago. I'm like, we're not even going to argue about this.
Yeah, no.
Wow. Take your Bible, take science. This Bible with you and smack him over the head with it.
Settled science.
Go on.
Also, where the hell is Dan tonight? I put my hair down.
Oh, Dan missed Dan's the hair down.
He couldn't get us in last. Wait, you couldn't see his messages last time. Right?
No, he's back.
He's back.
He unblocked you?
Yes. Okay, so let's finish out the show today with the best stories. Start with
a Florida man.
A Florida man was arrested Sunday after allegedly striking his boyfriend in the head with a novelty singing fish. Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Well, that's normal.
officers responded to a residence in Sebastian for a reported domestic battery.
That's ridiculous.
They found 52-year-old Larry Timmerman with a laceration on his head.
Of course his name was Larry.
Fucking Larry.
I'm sorry, Big Mouth Billy Larry. What's the other guy's name?
What?
She's
no,
on.
What are you no the about? Next guy in your story. What's his name? You got Billy Bass, the singing fish. Larry the lacerated loser.
You're terrible. Which he says, the laceration, which he says was caused by a Big Mouth Billy Bass thrown by 54-year-old Gregory Carney.
Your mouth is open so wide when you laugh. I love it.
Carney!
Well, I think I know what Becca's voting for.
Oh, my God. Oh, Gregory.
At one point, Carney went into the den and began playing with his singing fish.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm sure he
Timmerman,
did.
Timmerman said Carney kept it up just to annoy him. And let's be clear, this thing is really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Here's a little song I wrote.
Ah, that's
might
fun.
Want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
Be happy. Don't worry. Yeah.
Okay, then it stops.
I like this thing. This little fin is moving and everything. It makes me want to have a drink.
Have you seen the people that like hook this up to Alexa? Have you seen this?
No.
Oh no, it's great. People have hooked it up to Alexa, and then they're like, "Hey Alexa," and then the fish starts talking.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, here's one more song that it happens to sing.
All right.
You gotta push the button again. There you go.
Man, I don't know about that one. That's like porn music.
Listen.
I wanna know, can you help me?
Hey, wait it. Ready?
Take me to the river.
Oh, with my Bible.
Drop me in the water.
Oh, God. That's like spiritual. It's like being reborn, isn't it?
It's okay. A fish begging you to take it to the river and put it in the water. It's
oh,
like...
I thought it was like Jesus, where you
oh
go and you get... You
oh,
get...
Oh, God. No.
Okay.
Oh.
You get reborn again.
Oh, Jesus.
You bring it to the lake.
Okay, now, eventually... Timmerman removes the singing fish from the room and instead of taking it to the river and putting it in the water, placed it in the trash.
No, oh, that's a good place for it.
So I'm fucking tired of your fish. Threw it away. Carney discovered his beloved fish missing.
Fuck.
And when Timmerman admitted to putting it in the trash, Carney, now very angry, fished the fish out of the garbage. And threw it at his boyfriend.
How much did he really like this fucking fish if he threw it at his boyfriend?
A lot.
Fuck that
but
guy.
But he
a
threw
lot.
It, like, at his boyfriend.
Yeah.
I would have...
He needs to throw them in the trash. Sometimes you just need to recycle.
According to police reports, Carney admitted to throwing the fish, but said he wasn't aiming for Larry, and the blow to the head was an accident.
Yeah, okay.
Still, he was arrested for domestic battery and booked into county jail, now free on $500 bond.
Wow. 10%? It's only like... $60.
So there's your first story. I don't know how we're going to compete with that.
Can I make a confession? So yeah. I sent this story to Sarah. I did not read it. I just checked the date. Because I like reading. I like hearing these stories.
Fresh.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I did. I sent that to Sarah because I saw the headline. And all I do, I click open it and I look at the date it was published. And then I go, oh, it's fresh. Here, send it. And
fresh,
I never read it.
Yeah, because a lot of these Florida man stories that are floating around are like 2 years old.
Right. So my reaction right now was genuine.
Okay.
Take me to the river.
Your second story tonight, which I can't imagine this is going to compete. I didn't know that was going to go over so well. A Florida man arrested last week on a drunk driving charge, police say, was driving around in his underwear, which were endowed with the words breathalyzer, blow here, near his genitals.
Hey, they found you so much.
Oh, is that my boyfriend? How old is he?
Yes, Russell, the first story was a gay couple. The singing fish. 54-year-old Daryl Lee Campbell was pulled over around 3 a.m. on a Port St. Lucie highway, weaving on the road in his Dodge pickup. During questioning, Campbell said he was on the way to help a friend who had a flat tire. He seemed jittery, police said, was unsteady on his feet, and appeared under the influence of a stimulant. And for good reason. His record includes two prior drunk driving convictions, as well as carrying a concealed weapon, cocaine possession, and resisting arrest.
He's fucked.
This night, in particular, he was in possession of a penis ring in the truck center console.
Oh, that's normal.
Several condoms were strewn about the truck.
All right.
He also had binoculars sitting on the passenger seat.
Oh, dirty.
Maybe his penis is small and he wanted to check out when he pees and get it all over the place.
Oh, my God.
You know, someone has a problem. They're just not always big.
Oh. Or his eyesight was bad and he wanted to...
He wants to make sure it's still there.
He's being a peeper. Come on.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Police believe he may have been attempting to attract prostitutes in the area or other lewd and lascivious behavior.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, man.
This is no contest tonight.
No, it really isn't. You picked the wrong order. To...
I did. All right, your choices tonight. Fish out of water or blow here.
Take me to the river.
Oh, drop me in the water.
Take off your shirt. No, put it back on.
Throw me at your boyfriend.
So are we saying the fish?
I think we're all saying the fish. Yeah, that was great.
I mean, I don't like vagina, but a good singing fish else, would be good.
If for no other reason than Becca's reaction.
Take me to the river.
I wonder how many times that fish had been violated.
Oh,
man.
I mean, you know, it's all good. Do what you gotta do. But, like, is that why the guy hated the fish so much?
Maybe.
Because he was jealous of
maybe,
the fish?
Maybe.
Right? Why won't you sleep with me? Why, it's always the fish on the pillow. You cook dinner and the fish is on the table. You go to the shower and the fish is in the shower with you.
Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah.
If you want fish so bad, why are we together?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Russell
okay.
says fish out of water too.
Yep.
Fish out of water. Fish over trouble.
I just can't get
water.
Over the guy that the. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Do you have another one?
No, that's
nope,
it.
That's
Those
it.
Are your choices. I have to go to work now.
Oh,
I mean, soon.
We don't have
to
work.
Leave in like
I'm
half
off
an
2 days.
Must be nice. So that's all we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in on the Facebook Live for those of you who did.
We love you guys.
Absolutely. This is a lot of fun thing that we do every week, and and I appreciate it. I appreciate the interaction. That's the best part.
Yeah,
definitely. A reminder: we have a couple of topical things that we're working on coming up. So if you have stories that you want to talk about, particularly the abortion conversation that we had earlier, I want to kind of expand that and talk a little bit more about. Abortion in general. So if you have opinions or stories, please let us know. Producer at saratalk.com, 224-40-SARAH, or you can text that number also, or hit us up in the Facebook group. We have Tony Duchesne, Confessions of a Teenage Jesus Jerk, scheduled up here soon. Talk to him.
I like his name too. Like,
yeah.
That's like a badass name. That's such a wasted name on Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, he's not anymore, so that's
right.
I guess
no,
that's
he's,
good.
He's yeah.
And so we'll be talking to him soon. All right. So So before we go, we want to thank our patrons.
Yeah, we do.
Over at patreon.com/Sarah Talk.
Thank you, patrons.
They are part-time patron Russell, Andrea, Josie, Harry, The Wayward Willis Podcast, Mandy, Stacy, Megan, AJ, and Eric. And you have an appearance on the Wayward Willis Podcast. I forgot all about that until just this moment.
I will be, I'll be sharing it in the group when it's live. But I sat down with them a couple of nights ago and we talked about what even is a blood doctrine. Got into that. For those of you who don't know about the Jehovah's Witnesses rule to not take blood transfusions, we kind of just dissected the whole subject. It was fun.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear it. I haven't gotten to hear it yet.
I know. Me neither. But I lived it, so.
Can we listen to part of it on the next step? No.
Go to saratalk.com for all things Sarah Talk, Patreon and PayPal links. Print out a Flat Jesus and play along with our Flat Jesus game. Join our Facebook discussion group. That's where all the cool people are talking about topics we discuss on the show. Tune in Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern live on Facebook. Follow the Sarah Talk page to get live notifications and be part of the show. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.